Good morning, everyone. It was one of the closest presidential elections in U.S. history, 50 years ago today.
There are still some results still to come in. If the present trend continues, if Mr. Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, will be the next president of the United States.
That's candidate and Vice President Richard Nixon sort of releasing the suspicion that became a historical reality. Senator John F. Kennedy became the youngest person ever elected to the presidency, defeating Vice President Richard Nixon 50 years ago today. Here to help us look back at that historic election where really a moment passed, an era ended in the 20th century, and a new one with all kinds of promise began, is Harris Wofford, who was a former senator from Pennsylvania, but who also served as coordinator for the civil rights component of Kennedy's 1960 presidential campaign. Harris Wofford, good morning.
Good. Glad to be with you.
How did people feel on that sort of day of the successful election, in the sense that all of these notions of we are passing the torch, we are moving forward, the generation that had so dominated the 20th century had now passed the torch to another century? It reminds me of some of the rhetoric of 2008. Recall what it felt like 50 years ago today.
I think the passing of the torch was in part a generational thing, but because the generation that was taking over, represented by John Kennedy, was the generation that fought World War II, that let America show its not only its power, but its can-do spirit in a terrible war that we won. We had to win. The country was united around that war in a way it had never been before or after, I think. And that generation that Tom Brokaw named the greatest generation was now taking over. And I think the older people were also happy on that day. Now, the country was evenly divided, but there was a spirit of goodwill that that Kennedy himself, in the inaugural address, not only tapped but stirred further. They asked not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. And there was that sense that young America was moving again. It was the two times that were happiest in my life in some odd way were World War II, when the whole country was pulling together,
right,
and the public happiness that Adams and Jefferson talked about of governing ourselves and getting an esprit de corps out of that was now spilling over to domestic life and to a president who was representing that generation.
Well, you so eloquently characterized the promise, and you even quoted that line that's often attributed to Teddy Sorensen, who left us less than a week ago. So really, another moment is passing here. Listen to this voice of John F. Kennedy speaking just after winning the 1960 election, describing what the path forward was going to be like.
To all Americans, I say that the next 4 years are going to be difficult and challenging years for us all. The election may have been a close one, but I think that there is general agreement by all of our citizens that a supreme national effort will be needed in the years ahead to move this country safely through the 1960s.
Of course, John F. Kennedy did not live to see America make it through the 1960s, but in such a close election, what lessons do you think there are for today to mobilize the American people and to create a sense of consensus about where to go?
I wish I knew how to recapture that, but the thing that gives me special hope is what happened in the world. The response to Kennedy, both in his victory, in his major speeches, in his trips overseas, and then in his death, was just extraordinary. I happen to have left after the first wave. I went as the head of the Peace Corps in Africa, and was, when he died, living in Ethiopia. But all of Africa and Peace Corps volunteers from Latin America and Asia and those that that knew Europe well said that Kennedy had caught the imagination of the people of the world, and when he was killed, it was worldwide mourning.
Yeah.
And it isn't mourning in America in terms of the spirit of goodwill and spirit that prevailed for most of Kennedy's term.
But what do you make
of the world's response today to Obama is so similar. As I've measured it, as I've taken grandchildren around the world and others, I've been 10 times to India, for example, in my life. He's just been there, and we have that kind of spirit coming from the world. So I'm hoping that this world community, recognizing and being happy that America is back with a young, can-do spirit of a president, is going to spill over to our domestic incivility right now.
And that's really the key, the president speaking in India right now before the Indian parliament. But do you think it's possible, just to echo JFK's words before we go in less than a minute, supreme national effort? Do you think mobilizing a supreme national domestic effort is even possible now?
It's going to be very, very hard. I've had 13 presidents I've lived with, and we've gone up and down. And the lack of coming together after a very narrow victory that we had in Kennedy's election isn't there in this country today. But the world is waiting for it.
The world is waiting for it.
And it's sometimes when things get worse that suddenly someone like John Kennedy comes along.
Well, he did 50 years ago, the 50-year anniversary of the election of John F. Kennedy defeating Vice President Richard Nixon. Harris Wofford, former U.S. senator and worker on the JFK 1960 presidential campaign. Thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.